And the last line, pointing the lost to Jesus, the way. And that's kind of a little bit what I want to talk about tonight. I believe that you as young people have a window of opportunity, and that window may only be open for a few years, and then it will start to close. And as you get older, the window gets narrower. So I want to encourage you to take advantage of that window of opportunity while you have it as young people. Let's just look to the Lord for His help. Our God and Father, how thankful. Well, as many of you know, especially if you're from St. Louis, I was raised Roman Catholic. And as a Catholic, I was taught many good things. I was taught that Jesus is God, and I believed it from a little boy. As long as I can remember, I've known that. I was taught that, and I believed it. I was taught, too, that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Didn't exactly know the fullness of what that meant, but that was said to me, and I believed that Jesus loved me and died on the cross for me. And I was taught that He rose from the dead, and I always believed that. But you know, I can't say that I was saved at that time, because I was taught, you see, that that was the part that Jesus did for me, but that I had to do my part, that there was still a big part for me to do as well in order to have salvation. I was taught that I had to participate in the sacraments of the church, and that meant going to church every Sunday, which they called the Mass, and participating in that, receiving what was called Holy Communion. And that was necessary for my salvation. I had to do that consistently. And I had to confess my sins to a priest. A very unpleasant experience, I can assure you. I didn't like it at all. I didn't do it very much. But that was one of the sacraments, and we were told we had to receive the sacraments of the church and to participate in the sacramental system of the church in order to receive the grace that was necessary to be saved. And I was told many other things I had to do. I had to keep God's laws and commandments, and I had to do good works. Well, you know what's the funny thing about it, it's not really funny at all, is that I knew that I had to do those things in addition to believing in Jesus, but I didn't really do them very consistently. Another thing that I knew very much was that I was a sinner, a lost sinner. And since I knew I didn't do my part very well, I was always in fear of going to hell. And quite frankly, many Catholics are in fear of going to hell because they know they're not doing their part very well. And so this was something that weighed on me. And then one day, when I was a senior in high school, a friend of mine who happened to be Jewish and an atheist, he came up to me. His name was Nick. And he came up to me and he said, "You know, Mark, Christianity really makes sense. I've become a Christian." And I'll tell you, frankly, that blew my mind. I couldn't believe it that this atheist Jewish friend of mine was saying this to me. And I said, "What do you mean you became a..." He says, I believe in Jesus, and I receive Him as my Savior and my Messiah, and I know I'm going to heaven." He said, "How about you? Do you know if you're going to heaven?" I said, "Well, you can't really know that." I said, "You know, you have to do your part, don't you?" He says, "No, you don't." He says, "You don't have a part. Jesus did it all for us." And one of the first verses he opened up to me, showed me in the Bible, was Ephesians 2, 8, 9. If you have a Bible, you might want to take a look at that. We'll turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I said, "Nick, I know that Jesus died for me, but you got to keep God's laws and commandments and do good works, right?" Even though I knew I wasn't doing that, that was the crazy thing about it. I wasn't doing those things, but I thought you had to do them to be saved. And Nick said, "Well, look what the Bible says right here. It says, 'For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.'" I said, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "You know, we have our part to do. We have to do something." He said, "No, look at it. It says, 'By grace are you saved through faith.'" And we all know, I didn't know so much then, and I don't think my friend Nick really knew how to explain grace. We know that it is, as was mentioned earlier today by our brother, that it is God's unmerited favor towards us, isn't it? It's something we don't merit, we don't deserve, we don't earn it. He said, but we're saved by God. But I knew that. I knew basically that that's what grace was. I didn't know how to define it, but I kind of had an idea that that's what it was. It was God's love and mercy towards us, something we didn't deserve. And it says, that's how we're saved, by grace through faith. He says, my friend Nick said, it's just by faith, Mark. It's just by faith. It's not doing these other things that you're talking about. I said, but I was always told we had to do all these other things. He said, but look, it says it's not of yourselves. I said, yeah, but we have to do some good works, don't we? He said, but look what it says here. It's not of works. I said, I've never seen that before. I had no idea that the Bible said that. I was taught that we're supposed to believe the Bible, but they never showed me this verse. That's amazing. That's incredible. And I couldn't believe that the Bible actually said that, that it was saved by grace through faith alone. It's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. It's a gift, he said. You just receive it. I said, yeah, but, you know, what if we don't measure up? If we do something and we lose it, we lose our salvation. He said, what do you mean lose your salvation? I said, well, I was taught, of course, that you commit moral sin. If you don't do the sacraments, if you don't go to Mass, that's a sin. If you don't confess your sins to a priest, you're going to go to hell. He said, well, you can't lose your salvation once you've believed in Jesus. He said, if Jesus died for our sins, he died for all of them. He said, look, let me show you another verse. And we turn to John chapter 6. Now turn to John chapter 6. Take a look at another verse here. This is a simple verse. Short verse. John chapter 6. Verse 47. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Nick said, look, Mark, if you believe on Jesus, you have everlasting life. It lasts forever. He said, how long is everlasting? I said, forever, yeah. He said, that's right. How can you lose it? I said, well, yeah, when you die, if you've done everything right, you get everlasting life. He says, no. Look what it says here. He that believeth on me hath, present tense, right now, everlasting life. You get it now. I said, that's incredible. I've never seen that before. They never showed me that verse in the Bible. You can have everlasting life right now. And by definition, everlasting is everlasting. And I thought that was just amazing. He said, let me show you one more verse, John 10, 28. Concerning those who would believe on him, the Lord Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You're eternally secure, he said. You're safe and secure in the Savior's hands. You can't lose it. There's nothing you can do to lose your salvation. You can know you're saved right now. And I'll tell you, that was the best news I had ever heard. Because I did live in fear of going to hell. Because I always knew I couldn't live up to my part in salvation. But to be shown in the Bible that I could know that I had eternal life, and I didn't have to fear going to hell anymore, and that I had eternal life for the rest of my life, it changed my life when I believed that. It changed my whole outlook on life. I viewed life completely differently. I now realize that I was safe and secure in God's love. I was saved. My sins were forgiven, all washed away in the precious blood of Christ. He suffered, bled, and died on Calvary's cross for me to wash away all of my sins. And I was saved forever. I had new life in Christ. All this was brought before me, and it changed my life. I was never the same again. Well, that was when I was a senior in high school. I was 17 years old. And when I began to get involved in a Bible study and learn a little more about the Bible, along with my friend Nick. And then when I graduated from high school, then I went off to college in Florida. And when I came back for winter break, it was Christmas vacation, I came back, and an old friend of mine named Bob, I got in touch with Bob, And I thought, I got to share this with Bob. I knew he was raised Catholic also, by the way. He was 2 years older than me. He was actually my brother's good friend. But I got with Bob, and I said, Bob, I'm going to show you some stuff in the Bible. Did you know that the Bible says you can know you have eternal life? And he says, well, what about all the stuff we were taught? I said, forget about all that Catholic stuff. This is what God says, that you can know you have eternal life when you believe in Jesus as your Savior. And I showed him these verses, and he believed it. He believed it. And I hooked him up with some other Christians who I was having who I knew and had the Bible studies with earlier. And then I went back down to Florida, back to college, at the end of that Christmas vacation. And I corresponded with Bob by letter. And when I came back in the summer, we got together right away. And he said, hey, Mark. He said, I know about this party. A friend of mine says that she's having a party at her house. And why don't we go see if we can tell some folks about how to get saved? I said, okay. So I grabbed a handful of gospel tracts. We went to this house. It happened to be in the community of Ladue, which is a very well-to-do area of St. Louis. This was a big house. It was kind of a big mansion, a big old mansion. We went in there. There was young people everywhere. People your age, high school graduates, early college. And it was like they were in every room, and there was music playing and all this. And I just started handing out gospel tracts to people. And before you know it, within 2 or 3 minutes, I was surrounded by a bunch of girls. And they're all saying, what is this? What is this you're handing out? I said, well, this will tell you how you can know you're going to heaven. And they said, well, tell us about it. And so I started to tell them. They said, wait a minute, it's too noisy here. Let's go into the kitchen. So we go into the kitchen. Next thing I know, we're sitting at a big kitchen table. I'm sitting at the head of this table with Bob next to me, and there's four or five girls sitting there. And they're just saying, tell us how to get saved. Tell us how we can know we're going to heaven. It was an amazing thing. And I did. I explained it as best I could. And I know that eventually, I know for a fact, at least two of them got saved and went on for the Lord. And I'll tell you, as young people, you have an opportunity. See, young people like those girls and the folks in that at that party, they're open to ideas. They have questions about life. And they're ready to hear what people have to say to explain the meaning of life. And they're already thinking about the afterlife. Everybody thinks about it. People may try to deny it, but everybody thinks about it. Everybody knows we die. And so they're open, but they're open-minded at your age. And you have a window of opportunity to influence young people. That window will close. It won't close completely. Of course, you'll be sharing the gospel all your lives, but the opportunity you have as young people to influence other young people is a small window, really. So I would just encourage you, take advantage of that opportunity in high school or in college or at work, wherever, whatever your case may be. Share a gospel tract. I would encourage you, it says in Peter, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. So get ready. I would encourage you when you go home from this conference, write down your 10 favorite gospel verses and then type them into a Word document and print them out and memorize them. Your 10 favorite gospel verses, memorize them. And find a good gospel tract that you really like, one that you feel you can really relate to and you can explain well. Or write your own. You can do that now. Back in those days, it wasn't practical for an individual to write their own gospel tract. You all can do that now. You have a computer, you have a printer. You can write your own gospel tract if you want. Something that you feel comfortable using and sharing with people and using that you can put down and say, look here, and here's what the Word of God says. And you'd be amazed how you can influence other young people as a young person. But you might not be able to do that so easily later on. So that's what I would urge you to do. The Lord will bless you for it, and I trust you'll have many good memories and many good results. I do want to, again, remind you, though, that the power is not in anything that you say. It's not in anything that we say. We don't have the wisdom of men's words will not accomplish anything. But it says in Romans 1:16 that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. It's the power is in the gospel message. And the word of God is living and powerful. So use the word of God because that's where the power is. And you can lead souls to Christ. God wants to use you. Make yourself available to be used by Him.